Blog Talk Radio.
Tarvin, the host, and I'm joined with Chris Ricketts tonight, and there's just a lot of sports going on in the sports world. Chris, how's everything going in Alabama?
Doing great, Tarvino. Hasn't really been much of a weekend off. We've been putting together a jungle gym for my little three-year-old son, but it was great. We've got it put together, so he's happy, so I'm happy, and just ready to go.
All right, man. I've been hosting the in-laws this weekend, and my cousin came over for a while, so went to church today, had a good day of rest and a little exercise, so just dread going back to work tomorrow. Still trying to get in the rhythm of work after being off a week before. It's still hard, so maybe tomorrow will be a little better than last week.
Yeah, I hope so.
Well, I'm going to go ahead. Our chat room is not up tonight. I'm having computer difficulty, so the chat room will not be up. But you can call in 646-716-5564. If you want to talk, hit 1. If not, if you just want to listen, just call the number and just listen. Or you can log in and follow us on Twitter at WayInSports. Would love to have you. Any questions you have, we're going to have a lot of topics tonight. We're going to try to go, definitely we're going an hour tonight. We might go a little longer just depending on who all's calling in and everything, Chris. So we got a big show tonight. You ready?
Let's do it, man.
All right, good. Well, first, let's talk about, let's get it out of the way, Alabama, Oklahoma in the World Series, Women's College World Series Championship. I think it's the first time in 26 years that a Pac-12 team hasn't been in this. So congratulations to Alabama and Oklahoma. Both teams, I mean, just outstanding pitching. And they have a perfect formula, both teams, to win it all. I think Alabama's going to take them, though. I think Alabama's got too good a speed, and they have too good a hitting in that pitcher. I mean, she can pitch so good. So what do you think about the women's series?
Yeah, that ought to be interesting. I'll definitely be rooting for the Crimson Tide, you know, even though I'm a big Auburn fan. You know, love to see the state of Alabama represented well in the Women's College World Series. But, yeah, I agree with you, you know. If you have a dominant pitcher, especially in women's college softball, I mean, it can take you such a long way. And that's very interesting that, you know, like you said, it's the first time in forever that a Pac-12 team hadn't been in there. Usually, you know, women's college softball is usually dominated by, like, UCLA and Arizona. I know they've had great teams in the past. So it's good to see a couple different teams in there mixing it up to fight for the national championship.
Yeah, it was very impressive to see it. I actually watched the softball this year, and I've been watching some college baseball. It's been fun. So I'm going to go to the lines real quick. We have a caller. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this?
Hey, this is Blake.
Hey, Blake. How are you?
Hey, I got a couple questions, or just a question for you on the Justin Blackmon arresting. Do you think he'll get life in prison?
Probably for a DUI as the second one. Yeah, he should.
Yeah.
Do you think that'll affect his playing?
No, I don't think so. I think he's at that age, you know. I mean, honestly, everybody probably could have gotten a DUI at some point in their life. You'd think somebody going into the NFL could afford a cab, though, but.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
know, I think it could be a lot worse. The kid's gonna, maybe it's his second time. Maybe they need to put him in some kind of program, maybe or something, just to look in to see if he has a drinking problem. Because it would be a waste to see this kid not succeed in the NFL.
All right, thanks.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just saying, it's kind of sad, you know, the kid hadn't really got his career started, and now this is, you know, like you said, his second DUI. And so hopefully he'll get his he'll get his act together and straighten everything out. And because, like you said, Tarvin, this guy's got all the physical tools to be a number one receiver and to be one of the top receivers in the NFL in the coming years. So just rooting for him, you know, to get everything back on track, because I know he's done a lot of charity work, you know, with kids with, you know, debilitating diseases. You know, I've seen a couple of specials on ESPN about him. So I think the kid's got a good heart. He just needs to get his act together off the field.
I agree. And I'm going to go to the lines again. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this?
This is John.
Hey, John.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. Well, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Mississippi.
Hey, John. Okay. Good.
I was wondering what your take was on Justin Blackmon, and will he get life in prison?
Yes, he will get life in prison.
He will. All right, well, that's all I wanted to know.
All right, thanks, man. Yeah, I guess Justin Blackmon, life in prison. I mean, that's a lot
yeah.
for DUI, isn't it? You know, I mean,
well,
I would hate to know, Chris.
Exactly.
Somebody that, you know.
I think what we've learned tonight, Tarvin, is there's not a lot of Justin Blackmon fans out there.
I know. I mean, this is a kid that the only thing I beat him up over is, you know, look, guy, you don't realize what you're about to blow. Get a cab. You're going to drink your blood alcohol levels three times over the legal limit. Get a cab.
Exactly.
You know, go ahead, Chris.
Tarvin. I mean, you know, we see this all the time, and I know me, you, and Trey, we've kind of weighed in on this topic, I think, last week, but why is it that these kids keep making these dumb mistakes like this? I mean, you know, it seems like every time you turn around, you know, every couple of months, you see a case of somebody getting a DUI, and you know all these guys, they watch SportsCenter, they watch the Newswire, you know, they're following Twitter. So they're aware that all these people are getting busted, but yet nothing changes. So what's going to have to be done in order for them to, you know, change their behavior? I mean, is it just a personal thing?
I don't know if anything can be done. I mean, kids are going to be kids, and this guy's, what, 20, 21 years old. He's now at the legal age to drink. I don't think when you're that age, you really don't know what you have to lose yet. I don't think, you know, you're invincible. Nothing bad can happen to you. But if he could look 10 years down the road maybe and look at his life, he would see that, you know, there's something that you could lose. And this guy is a good kid. He does a lot of charity work. He's good in the community. He made a mistake. And maybe this will be his wake-up call. I don't know, but I love the kid, and I'm not going to beat him up because he got a DUI, because let's face it, that's probably everybody in America could have gotten a DUI at some point.
Oh, yeah.
So I mean, it's not like he did something, went out and shot somebody or robbed somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, you just, you know, I just want to see this kid succeed. So, you know, I hope, like I said earlier, hopefully he'll get his act together and everything will be good from here on out.
Yeah, I don't know why all the hate for Justin Blackmon tonight, though.
I know it.
I can understand if some Oklahoma and Texas fans were calling. It might be Oklahoma and Texas fans calling in.
That could be. Or it could be, you know, maybe their favorite NFL team didn't draft him and they really wanted him, so now they're bitter. I don't know.
Well, if you'd like to weigh in on Justin Blackmon, give us a call, 646-716-5564. I'm sure that life in prison sentence will be coming shortly, so we'll have to see.
Exactly.
And I've been watching some NBA, Chris, and man, it's a series now with the Thunder and Spurs. Spurs jumped up 2-0 on them in San Antonio. OKC come out and played two great games at home to even it up. And now we head to game 5 in San Antonio tomorrow night, Chris. What is your prediction?
Well, first of all, I got to give you props because you absolutely are all over this series so far. You told us that San Antonio would win the first two games at home, and then Oklahoma City would come back and win the next two games, you know, at Oklahoma City, and that's exactly what happened. And now all the pressure is back on the Spurs in Game 5 because I believe whoever wins Game 5 is definitely going to take this series. And it's just amazing to me how different or how much different each of the teams look, you know, playing at home. You know, the Spurs came out the first two games and absolutely dominated. I mean, you know, Tony Parker and Ginobili, they dominated games one and two. The Thunder had no answer for them. And then, you know, coming back home for game three, I thought, you know, pretty much the coaching move of the series so far, Brooks puts Cephalosius on guards, put Cephalosius to guard Tony Parker, and that has made all the difference in the world. It slowed Tony Parker down a lot. And Oklahoma City, of course, Durant has just been unbelievable. They've been getting play from their big men. And now it's game on now. It's anybody's series. It's a best of three. So I'm still going to stick with my original prediction and say that the Thunder's going to win this in seven games. So how about you, Tarvin? Has your decision changed any based on what you saw these first four games?
No, I still think OKC is going to get them in game five on the road. I think they're going to wrap it up in OKC for six, so it'll be 4-2 OKC. I'm going to go to the lines. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this? Hello?
Hello.
Whoops. Accidentally, hello? I cut you off, sir. I cut you off, so call back. If you want to call back in, just go ahead and call in. I accidentally cut him off, Chris. Sorry about that, caller. I think it was another Mississippi caller wanting to know about Justin Blackman's life. I'm sure it was. We have a lot of Justin Blackman fans tonight. But,
yeah,
you know, I'm very impressed with Durant in this series. He's cut down on his shots. I would like to see him shoot a little more. But Westbrook's played well, too.
Yeah.
He's played well. Perkins has played well. What's his name? The center's played very well. I'm just very impressed with OKC's poise because – they could have easily folded, and I think a lot of people really thought they would fold after going down 0-2 because, you know as well as I do, you're down 0-2 on the road. All you can think about is your confidence is shot. The OKC was that team that they were just as dominant as the Spurs in the playoffs almost, and all of a sudden they lose two in a row. They're not used to losing two in a row, so I'm very impressed with the way OKC defended their home court. Now, Game 5 is going to be the championship game, in my opinion. Whoever wins this game is going to win this series.
Yeah, I agree. You know, this is turning out to be the series that we all hoped and thought it would be. You know, I think it's going to be an epic. I mean, it's just going to be an epic ending. I mean, we've seen two teams that, I mean, let's face it, they're the two best teams in the NBA. I just don't see anybody from the East given either of these two teams any trouble in the finals. But, you know, what I was really impressed with Oklahoma City, you know, like you said, being down 0-2, they come back in game three, and they had all the pressure in the world to win that game because you can't go down 0-3 to San Antonio. And they just came out just guns a-blazing and was knocking down shots and put all the pressure back on San Antonio, and they did that again in game four. So they got off to really quick starts, and I thought that was the key to both games because that just made everything a little bit easier for the Thunder. You know, they knew they had a cushion to play with. They weren't really pressured. I mean, San Antonio would make some runs and cut into the lead, but it just never seemed like the game was in doubt in game three and four. So that just boosted their confidence and allowed them to play their game, and it really showed, you know, in the final outcome. So game five is tomorrow night. I've got my popcorn ready. I'm like T.O. I got my popcorn ready to go. So I just can't wait for tomorrow night to get here.
Me either. I'm ready to watch that game. And then also tonight, a game five, is a game four in the Miami Heat-Boston series. Boston, honestly, they could be up 2-1 right now in this series. The Heat took game one with ease. But then after that, the Celtics have outplayed Miami for two games in a row, and they're up 16 right now at home in game four. So Miami Heat fans out there, you better watch out. You're about to lose because Boston wins this game tonight. They've already showed they can win at Miami, and they will. So it looks like Boston, to me, Chris, is getting their second wind almost. You see them dragging and everything, but I think when the lights come on for these teams and the games get important, they show up. And Rondo is a beast, man. This kid,
yeah.
does nothing but triple doubles. Have you ever seen anybody like that in a long time that can play like he can?
Yeah, I mean, he is just a triple-double waiting to happen. I mean, the kid right now is playing out of his mind. And I know you referenced this earlier in some earlier shows, but why in the world would Boston even think about putting this guy on the trading block? Because he is definitely one of the top 5 point guards in this league. He is definitely a guy that you can build your franchise around. I mean, let's face it, he is, to me, he is the face of Boston right now. He is their franchise player because, you know, Pierce is getting on up there in age. Garnett, Ray Allen, I mean, they're on their last leg. So, and right now, you know, I'm sitting here watching the start of this game, and I'm with you, Tarvin. I'm amazed at how much energy the Celtics have right now. I mean, I kind of thought they would just kind of lag around a little bit in this series, being tired because, you know, they've been pushed to the limit in a couple series, and you know, they're an older, veteran team, and it just seems like they've got that second wind right now, and they're coming out firing on all cylinders. I mean, Ray Allen's hitting threes. Paul Pierce is hitting threes early on. I mean, they're just playing lights-out basketball, and the Heat, they just look like they don't really have an answer. Don't even look like they're really interested in this game. It just seems like they're wanting to get this thing back to Miami, but if I'm the Heat right now, I'm a little bit worried because I'm with you. Boston can definitely go in and steal game five on the road, especially with all this momentum that they've got, and make life really tough for the Miami Heat.
Well, I mean, just the momentum shift. You win two in a row, and now all of a sudden Miami's back game five in really a must-win situation, feeling the pressure where the Celtics feel perfect. You know, 1-2 in a row, outplayed the Heat 3 games in a row, so Ray Allen's starting to heat up. And I think Rondo's the main player on that team, no doubt. But when Ray Allen starts hitting threes, you better watch out. And then I heard on Andrew's show yesterday, Last Word Sports News, like Rondo has really extended the careers of Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett, because could you imagine the Celtics without Rondo? They wouldn't even be a team, honestly. They would be a team maybe, and I doubt they would even make the playoffs. They would be a team that's just a lower-tier Eastern team that just couldn't get it done. But I'm with you, Chris. Why in the world would they try to trade a point guard with that kind of ability? And if he ever learns to shoot that mid-range jumper, it's over, man.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
out.
Over. Yeah, and this kid does nothing but come in and play hard every game. All the players, it's hard to get KG, Pierce, and Ray Allen to respect you. And this kid came in, and they respect him, and the team flows around him. Doc Rivers likes him. I don't know what Danny Ainge was smoking. Maybe he was jealous that Rondo was doing so well. I don't know. But some of these owners that used to play, they need to get over it. You're 55, 60 years old now. Get over it. You're not playing anymore.
Exactly.
I'm very excited to see Boston playing good, man, because so many people have dogged them all season long. And calling a sweep. Miami was going to sweep them. And right now they're up 17 with 9 minutes left till halftime. And, man, they're just rolling. So do you think the Celtics, what do you think about this series? Are you thinking 6-7 games? Who's going to win?
I think it's definitely going to go 7 games. I'm still going to I'll stay with my original pick. I picked the Heat to go to the finals, you know, a Heat-Thunder finals. But I mean, it would not surprise me in the least bit if Boston is able to take this series. I don't, you know, I think once they go back for game five, I think you'll see Miami take game five. And based on what I'm seeing so far, you know, definitely Boston will come back, you know, for game six and probably win that game. So I think it's going to come down to, you know, 7 games. But I'll still take the Heat. But like I said earlier, it would not surprise me in the least bit if Boston really pushes them and actually beats them in Game Seven. But you know, I'm a big Ray Allen fan. I mean, you know, he had the bad shooting night, I think, in Game Two, and a lot of people don't realize like how much work this guy actually puts in. They were saying like the next night he was there like 6 hours before the game taking jump shots. I mean, that's all he does is just shoot the basketball. And I think his work ethic flows over into other team members. I mean, they see all the hard work that he puts in and how hard he works at his craft. And that's why I think you see Rondo's being so good. I think it's just a carryover effect. And when I see guys putting that much work, I just really root for them. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, Ray Allen wasn't even a starter because of his injury, and he's healing up, and then he was forced into the starting lineup with an ankle injury. And you know as well as I do, Chris, it's muscle memory basketball is. You're shooting.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, when you have to change your shot just the slightest because of an injury, it's going to throw you off. You're going to have to really learn how to shoot again, maybe adjust it. And it's very hard to adjust something you've been doing for years and years so well. So people are giving him a hard time because he's cold or missing shots. But kudos to him for showing up on that court and giving it all he has every night. And it's starting to pay off. And not only does it pay off, you know, when he starts hitting them, but his teammates, like you said, they start noticing how hard he's working. You know, you see a veteran on your team there 6 hours before the game. What message is that sending to your rookies? You better have your butt in there with him.
Exactly. I mean,
if you'd like to weigh in with us, number 646-716-5564. What were you saying, Chris?
No, go ahead.
I'm just saying the younger players look up to these guys, and the older guys look, you know, teach these younger kids, but they rely on those younger kids to help them, you know, when they get gassed to turn it up. And right now, Boston, everybody seems like they're clicking on all cylinders and playing hard. And I mean, you're up 15 points right now over the Miami Heat. You know, I picked the Heat in the finals. When the Bulls went out, you know, before when the Bulls lost Rose and then they lost Boozer. But before this series, I just, for some reason, I felt the Celtics are going to win this series. And I know y'all said that was a bold pick, but I just have a feeling that, you know, Boston's a better team than Miami. Miami has two great players on it, but two players is not enough this time of the year. You have to have a team clicking together, working together. You know, you can't just have two players get hot every now and then and you're going to go to the NBA Finals. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, and that was kind of one of my concerns coming into this series, even though I did pick the Heat. You know, when Bosch went down, I know, you know, in the last series, it just seems like Miami had to have huge games from LeBron and Dwayne, and they were just exerting a lot of energy. And so, you know, tonight, just watching them play, it seems like almost, you know, Dwayne Wade and LeBron kind of going into conservative mode, maybe saving some of that gas for game five. But, you know, I'm really wondering, do you think there's any chance that Chris Bosh is able to come back and play any in this series, or do you think he's pretty much gone?
I think if he was going to play, he would have already played. And I just don't see it. I think if he was going to play, he was already going to be on that court. And they might use him in the finals. I doubt it. It seems like to me he's got a serious injury. You know, it's something bigger than people are talking about. So, but anyway, I heard a rumor for the Heat was Steve Nash wanting to come to the Miami Heat and run point for him next year for the league minimum. I think a player like that would put them over the top. Heck, the Heat might go undefeated in the season if they get a point guard.
Yeah, that would be big time. I mean, you telling me they can replace Mario Chalmers with Steve Nash, I'll take that any day of the week and twice on Sunday, man. That would be absolutely huge. I mean, I don't know if you've ever gotten a chance to see Steve Nash play live, but when we went out to the national championship game a couple years ago when Auburn played in the BCS title game, we went and watched the Phoenix Suns game when they played the Knicks. And, you know, I always kind of thought Steve Nash was a little bit overrated, you know. But after seeing him play live in person, I mean, that guy is in total control at the point guard position. I mean, everything he does is just crisp. You know, there's no wasted movement with him. I mean, he just has unbelievable court vision. And, man, if you could pair him with Dwayne Wade and LeBron James on the floor at the same time, Tarvin, that's like having three point guards on the floor at the same time. I mean, that would be a huge advantage.
Yeah, I would go ahead and pick Miami. But we're going to go to the lines. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this?
Hey, this is Derek.
Hey, Derek.
Hey, I got a question on the NBA draft.
All right, Derek.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead with your question.
Who do you think is going first pick?
Oh, it's a no-brainer. Chris, you want to take that one?
Yeah, it'll definitely be Anthony Davis. The Hornets, I mean, they're going to get their franchise center. You know, I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, or maybe Kidd, or what's his name for Kentucky?
Michael Kidd.
Yeah. I would actually want to take him. He's 6'7". He can shoot the three. He can play the point. He can do everything. I think he's more attractive in my eyes, especially if I'm Michael Jordan and I need somebody and I lost that first pick. That's definitely the guy I'm going for.
All right. Do you think what's his name? Who do you think the Raptors will take?
What Raptors are they? Are they third or fourth pick? I can't remember.
Yeah, I think they're sixth pick.
I don't know who the Raptors will take. I honestly haven't studied the Raptors or really anywhere past the first couple of people that were taken yet. We'll be studying that later, but I just know the lottery and who's picking where for the most part, the top few.
Yeah, the Raptors could go with maybe Austin Rivers out of Duke. I mean, you know, they could go with, you know, a good potential scoring guard. I know they need guard help. But if I had to pick a name off the top of my head at number six, I think you'll see Austin Rivers go somewhere in that range. And I think he would be actually a pretty good fit for the Raptors.
All right. Well, you're on Way In Sports. Who's this?
This is Blake Steele.
Hey, Blake. How's it going, bud?
It's going good. How are you?
I'm good. What's your question tonight?
Do you think the Detroit Pistons have any chance at going to the championship?
I don't know. Maybe not next year, but maybe in a few years if they draft they might.
Yeah,
have,
I think Brandon
right
Knight and Greg Monroe are an amazing double teammate. That will be an amazing triple threat there with them too.
Yeah, I agree. Chris, you have any thoughts on the Pistons?
Yeah, the Pistons are definitely going to have to address get some bodies down low. I mean, they drafted guard a couple years in a row in the draft. They lack a lot of size and strength, and they definitely need to.
What about Greg Monroe? He's a dominant force down low. And same with Brandon Knight, man. He got a nice night. I love his wee-wee.
Was that a Justin Blackman fan?
I don't know. We got a lot of homophobes here tonight running around. I don't know what to say. We got a lot of that guy sounded like the guy from Sling Blade, didn't he, Carl?
Yeah. Hey, Tarver, let me check my calendar. Is it April Fool's Day? Am I missing something here?
I don't know. Maybe a tornado blew a trailer park down. I don't know, but it's just...
When you live in a glass house and your name is Ric Flair, you can do anything any day of your life that you want to.
Yeah, exactly. Woo! I guess they could talk about what they want, but, you know, the Detroit Pistons and the Toronto Raptors, really, who cares? I mean,
they need a lot of work. That's why they're picking very early in the draft. So, yeah, they definitely they got to have a lot of help.
Yeah, we got a lot of, seems like prank callers tonight or something, because those can't be serious calls.
Exactly.
There's no way. But anyway, we're talking about the NBA playoffs. We're going to get off those, so maybe we won't get any more Toronto Raptors calls. So,
I didn't know they had that large of a fan base.
I know. We got Justin Blackman going to prison for a DUI, and then we have the Detroit Pistons winning the World Championship next year. Congratulations.
Yeah.
It
exactly.
is April Fool's Day. I think it is April Fool's Day.
It's got to be, man.
But we're going to touch on Tiger just a second. Tiger Woods, man, today played like the Tiger of old. Congratulations. And did you see that chip shot he made on, was it 16 or was it 15?
Yeah, I think it was on 16. I didn't see it live, but I caught a replay of it. And, wow, it was an unbelievable shot. I mean, probably one of the most historic shots that Tiger's ever made. I mean, you know, he had a very bad lie, and it looked like he was really in position to make a bogey on that hole and is able to chip in for birdie. So that's a two-shot swing right there, and that proved to be the difference, you know, in the tournament as he birdied the last hole to win it. And just an unbelievable finish. I mean, I think he was down two shots with three holes to play and was able to come back and grab that tournament and bring home a nice $1.1 million paycheck. So, you know, Tiger's definitely happy about that. So, yeah.
And I'm sure Tiger could care less about the money, man. He's so competitive, especially who he beat. He came back and beat old Roy Sabatini, the guy that trash-talked him a few years ago, and said, I don't know why anybody would be afraid of Tiger, but this guy's the best golfer I've ever witnessed. I mean, there's nobody else that can play like Tiger can. He tied Jack today for 73 wins, and he's not far behind for majors yet for winning it. But, you know, Jack said that shot on 16 was the ballsiest, let's put it in layman's terms, the ballsiest shot he's ever seen anybody make. If he went long, this tournament was over. If he was short, it's going to be very hard the next one, so he's going to two-putt it at least. So for him to hit that shot like that, because you know Tiger, he wasn't trying to lay up for it. He was trying to nail it, and that's what he did, man. And seeing his putting today, and he was sick yesterday. He had like 102 fever, and he was playing golf, and his fever broke last night. But, you know, it seems like it reminds me of Jordan back when he played in the finals against Utah with the flu. He put up 50 points. So, you know, stuff like that. Champion.
Now
true champion.
Yeah, exactly. Now he's got all the momentum going into the U.S. Open, and the scary thing for everybody to watch out for is a lot of Tiger's struggles can be attributed to how well he's played the par fives over the last year or so. I mean, typically, you know, Tiger Woods, he dominates the par fives, and he had been struggling over the last couple of years on par fives, and now this tournament, he got back to his old ways of scoring on those par fives. So if he keeps that trend up, the rest of the tour better watch out, because it's going to be a long year. Because, you know, I think he's finally got his iron game straightened out a little bit. And let's face it, if Tiger Woods can hit half the fairways, then he's doing his part. So he definitely looks like he's got his mojo back. So. Rest of the tour, better watch out.
You're right. I'm going to the lines. You're on Weigh In Sports, 256 area code.
Hey, guys. It's Corey. How's it going?
Good, on, Corey. Hey, Chris, I know this is not a prank call.
Hey, Corey.
Yeah, I had a question about the Golden State Warriors.
you stole my line, Corey. What I was going to ask you was, do you think Justin Black should get the death penalty?
I think it's a good possibility. The question is, I mean, what are they? They're gonna go by firing squad, hanging, or what?
They're gonna go Hatfield and McCoy on them.
Yeah, I think that's the problem. Everybody's watched Hatfield and McCoy this week, and everybody wants to kill people, put them in jail. The McCoy missed it. Corey, I've had 10 calls about Justin Blackmon. Is he going to get the death penalty? So it's a hot topic.
Yeah.
So Corey, hey guys, Corey, stay on with us, please. We have a caller in the queue. You're on Weigh In Sports. Who's this? 205 area code. You're on. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, what's going on? Who is this?
Is Dylan here?
We can't hear you, buddy. You're breaking up.
Is Dylan here?
I can't hear him.
Yeah, he's breaking up.
All right, 317, you're on Way In Sports. Who's this?
I have a question about the draft. Do you think that Chris Bosh will be selected by the Raptors?
It'd kind of be hard,
guy, but I got some advice for you right now. What you need to do is go get a woman. Put the blow-up doll under your mattress and go get a woman and make love to her one time in your life. I mean, what kind of guy is this? We got some people that probably still live with their mother calling in tonight. I'm ready to talk sports.
I think a couple of them lived with their mothers till they killed them. But
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, if you're even talking about basketball right now, and you're not talking about the four teams playing, don't even call almost unless it's a serious question. This is a serious show, guys. So if I have to call your mother and tell her to take the landline away from you tonight, I will. So only serious callers tonight, please. We only have a certain amount of time. I don't want to waste my time with guys still living home with mama. So Corey, what's going on with you, buddy?
Yeah, not much. I was just watching this Celtics Heat game. It was going to suit me right now because obviously I'm pulling for the Celtics. But yeah, just touching on what you guys were saying earlier, I still probably would have to go with the Heat to win it. But I really want the Celtics to win it. But touching on, I missed the first couple of minutes of the show tonight. You may have already talked about it. What do you guys think of Serge Ibaka last night for the Thunder?
Oh, man, he played a great game.
Yeah, he finally showed out last night. You know, I know Trey was, you know, he had him pegged as one of his impact players for the series, and I was kind of waiting on when he would show up, and he definitely showed up in a big way last night. I mean, pretty much hitting every shot that he took, and really was a major reason why the Oklahoma City Thunder was able to win that game. So he's definitely playing with all the momentum right now. So, Corey, who do you think is going to eventually win that series between the Thunder and the Spurs?
That's tough now. I'm going to go with the Thunder. I mean, I originally went with the Thunder before the playoffs to win the whole thing, but after the first couple of games, I was like, well, I guess I was wrong. Looks like the Spurs are going to sweep through the playoffs. But, I think now, though, they have a lot of momentum, and even though the Spurs still have the home court advantage, I think maybe just the Thunder's youth and fire might take it for them.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I'm going to the lines again.
Yes.
You're on Way In Sports. Who's this? Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Carl. How's Mom doing?
She's doing okay. I just want to let you guys know that Justin...
I think, was that Shockley? I think that was Mitch. But
I don't know. Again,
yeah,
guys,
he got released from jail. He did not get a death.
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm off. But, guys, let's all pitch in together and get that guy something besides the blow-up doll. Y'all ready?
Yeah.
I've got $100 right here on me.
I'll send you my check in the morning.
Yeah,
I'll
change gears and get in
bucks.
Corey's got a couple bucks?
I'll throw in a couple. I think we can fashion one that would satisfy that guy out of an old swimming float. Something
you
might pick up at the Dollar General store. Probably still more contact than he's used to. So,
yeah, exactly.
Hey, guys, I have a feeling I know what all this is about. You know, I've seen some message boards this week where people are bashing the SEC conference this week in football. Corey, I'm glad you're on the phone with me so we can talk about this. And Chris, and if you're out there and you want to call, serious call 646-716-5564. I've heard all week, and it's just been amazing. See, I've never been on message boards probably the last few months, and I joined a few, but every day there's posts bashing the SEC for their scheduling, for Alabama making the championship game, different things like that. And I can't believe as much SEC hatred as there is. You know the SEC has to be the best conference in the country or people wouldn't be talking bad about them, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking at Auburn's schedule this year, and we're seventh in the country in schedule strength, and I think Notre Dame has number one, and their schedule is very tough. I have to give them kudos for it. But I look at the big teams in the country. When I say big teams, I mean respectable teams that's won a championship or are actually in a championship hunt every year, and I'm not really impressed with anybody's schedule. And the thing I don't understand is, when people talk like USC, for instance, they don't ever play Division I AA schools or whatnot, or FCS. But you know what? There's no difference between Alabama playing Kent State than USC playing Virginia or somebody. You know, they're not going to beat them. and everybody gives USC so much props, but when you play two games per season, you can afford to play better teams. And that's my argument is, why would Alabama, Auburn, LSU, Florida, then load up without a conference schedule when they're going to be playing 8 or 9 ranked teams and these other guys are going to be playing nobody? Chris, what do you think?
Well, that's exactly why they don't go out and schedule, you know, a hard out of, you know, non-conference schedule, because they know that when they get into conference play that it's going to be challenging enough to win those games. I mean, come on, people. I mean, this jealousy of the SEC is just – it's just gotten to an all-time high, and it's just getting a little ridiculous. Please stop saying that the SEC doesn't play good teams at a conference. I mean, come on. Isn't Alabama playing Michigan the first game of the year? Isn't Auburn playing Clemson, a top 25 team, the first game of the year? I mean, I know everybody doesn't play the stellar out-of-conference schedule, but to me, you've got to have your cupcake. I mean, especially when you play in the SEC, you've got to have at least 2 or 3, basically what I call cupcake games, in order to give your team time to rest. Because, like you said, Tarvin, you're playing 4 or 5 top 10 teams every year, and I've got a message for everybody that's an SEC hater. If you want to shut us up, beat us in a game that matters, and we will. Play Ric Flair.
you gotta give me a minute. But you're right. If you're gonna talk bad about the SEC, then you're gonna have
to be the man. You've gotta be the man.
But that's the truth, man. You're gonna talk. You know, even Ole Miss is playing Texas this year, and you have different things. But here's the deal. Let's say USC. You know, okay, they play Notre Dame out of conference, and they play, say, Minnesota or somebody. That's it. But their conference schedule is Oregon State, Washington State, Arizona State, Arizona. I mean, you got some scrubs there. There's two teams this year in the Pac-12 that are good. It's probably USC and Oregon. That's it. Stanford's going to have a huge drop-off. And the Big 12, you know, I respect the Big 12. You know, I respect Big 12 fans out there because they don't live in la-la land. Most of them don't. But you see some of these Pac-12 people, Big Ten sometimes. It's just, I mean, there's good fans everywhere and there's bad. But the hate that the Big Ten has for the SEC and the Pac-12 has for the SEC. Here's the deal, Pac-12. You know, Oregon, I respect Oregon. I'm going to put Oregon to the side because I actually like Oregon. I like Chip Kelly. I like what he does. But as far as Lane Kiffin, whatever his name is, he's not going to be able to do anything at Southern Cal. The only way he will go 11-1 or whatever is because of his schedule. I mean, seriously, Auburn plays this year, and this is an easy schedule for Auburn compared to years past. Clemson, Georgia, Arkansas, LSU, Alabama, Vanderbilt. You know, I mean, that's a tough schedule. That's 10 times tougher than USC's schedule, Southern Cal's schedule right there. But I just don't understand all the hate, man. I mean, beat us, shut us up, that's fine. But you don't see SEC people or really even Big 12 people out talking smack about the SEC. And, you know, the Big 12 and the SEC commissioners or the coaches and all that, they were the only ones to vote on the 4 best teams in the playoff. And this is just on my mind today because I've heard it all week and listened to it. So I just had to to talk about it, Corey. So what do you think about, like, the USCs of the world? What is their problem?
Oh, well, I mean, it boils down to this. A lot of it comes out of jealousy and ignorance because they don't realize how much local economics play into the SEC schedule. The fact that, we all like to see those big games, but, I mean, Auburn's playing Clemson on a neutral field this year. Alabama's playing Michigan on a neutral field. Because they don't want to have to turn around next year and go to Clemson or Michigan, not because they're afraid to, because they've done it before. It's just the fact that, sadly, now more than ever, money controls college athletics. And it's the same way with the towns. I mean, Auburn's in a small town, and people don't realize how much pressure the city council puts on the university to bring in as many home football games as possible because those games generate millions of dollars of revenue in the town. I mean, and when you're in Los Angeles, like USC or UCLA, the Los Angeles City Council probably could not care less about USC-UCLA football schedules. I mean, they have millions of dollars coming into those towns every day from somewhere else. So they're not concerned with it. I mean, it's a big economic factor in these small towns. So like Auburn, Starkville, Mississippi, even Tuscaloosa's there in Auburn, but it's still not that big. And, places like Stillwater, Oklahoma. I mean, Big 12 is a little more similar to SEC in the way they do business. And that's the thing is people just don't realize how much those towns really need that extra home game to generate revenue. And so it's more about money than it is about a cupcake win. And, yeah, as far as cupcakes, what we're talking about, when your conference is full of, like, Washington State and Arizona and Washington, I mean, there are all your little Citadel and UL Monroe games built in the conference. So,
exactly. That's my point exactly, Corey. And also people don't realize that Auburn and Alabama and teams like that, you know, it's revenue for the town and everything. But these small colleges on the up and up, they're trying to build their programs. They have to have these games in order to survive. Because if Stanford didn't come and play Auburn or Alabama or, you know, some of these smaller schools, Louisiana, Lafayette, and teams like that, they wouldn't be able to survive. And because they come and take a butt kicking, and sometimes they sneak up on us, you know, like Appalachian State. That's why Michigan don't really go out and play anybody, because you saw what Appalachian State did to them.
Exactly.
But it's like, you're right, it's built in. And we have a bye week like everybody else, but we also have bye weeks in a way, it's not bye weeks with these smaller teams in order to get healthy, because if you watch SEC football, and I think a lot of people don't watch it, I think they sit up there and watch their Pac-12, and that's fine if that's whatever you prefer. But if you're going to hate somebody and you're going to talk bad about them, at least be educated and knowledgeable about them. If you watch an SEC game, for instance, watch Auburn LSU one year and see how many hits that you see people going down, cramping, hurt. In the Pac-12, they don't even tackle a lot of the teams. They don't know how to play defense. And I'm not putting their conference down or anything. It's just the style. So when you play 8 SEC games, and I guarantee you, you know, you'll play an Ole Miss when they're down. That's one of them. And Vanderbilt's on the up and up. Mississippi State's not too shabby. So, I mean, 7 of those 8 games are very tough probably. And then you go out of conference and play Clemson or somebody, and then you have to have a few cupcakes. If not, you're going to end up with 3 or 4 losses, and you're not going to have enough players healthy to fill the team. And so that's why they do it. So you put USC in this SEC, or you put Oregon could probably survive a little bit. I've gained a lot of respect for them. But, you know, Southern Cal doesn't have my respect anymore. We're going to go to the phones. You're on Lay In Sports. Is this Keith?
Yeah, that's Keith. What's going on?
Hey,
how's it going, man? What's going on?
Not much. I just wanted to add something, too, in I know the people that aren't SEC fans wouldn't realize this, but being an Auburn fan, and I think all y'all would remember this, what undid Terry Bowden when he was at Auburn was not the fact that he couldn't coach. His philosophy changed because he was trying to be like his dad, coaching in the ACC. And he went from a Stephen Davis size back to a Markeith Cooper size back. And a back, I mean, he was similar to a Warrick Dunn, which I got all the respect in the world for Warrick Dunn, and I think y'all do too. I mean, we're talking late 90s now, and the SEC is a whole lot more competitive and got a lot more talent across the board now. I would say Vanderbilt now has almost as much talent as some of those teams did then that were winning the conference. And if you compare, and that was what undid Auburn, because you have to have solid, durable, you know, tough backs like say, a Trent Richardson or someone like that, because if you don't, you can't win in the SEC because of the pounding you take, and that's where the difference lies between an SEC or Big 12 program compared to a Pac-12 program, and then probably the lower half of the Big 10, they don't compare. I mean, I know that's basically what you're saying. That's the comparison I would draw from it. But what do y'all think?
Well, like Chris said, to be the man, you got to beat the man, really. And anytime I see an SEC team in a BCS bowl game or whatever, championship game, Okay, so Alabama last year didn't deserve to go because they lost in overtime to LSU in a game a few years ago where overtime didn't exist. It wouldn't have mattered. They'd both be undefeated. But you're telling me because Alabama played Kent State last year, they didn't deserve to go when Oklahoma State did. When half of their conference is trash and they're out of conference schedule, my God. I mean, it was the school of the deaf and blind. You had the school of nuns. I mean, Oklahoma State had the worst out-of-conference schedule I ever saw. And you're going to tell me that the reason Alabama shouldn't go because of their out-of-conference schedule, that's just pure ignorance, like Corey said. That's just pure ignorance, not knowing, and it's just hatred. We're not just sitting over here as homers in the SEC. If the Big 12 or Big 10 or whatever was this good, I'd give them props too, and you know I would. But it's just the bottom line is the SEC, everybody hates them because they are the best. They recruit the best. The wives of the coaches are the hottest, is Franklin from Vanderbilt. You know, that's what he's trying to do. And it's just everybody hates the South, man. So, Corey, what do you think?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I agree with what Keith was saying. I mean, back then, that finesse football was working at Florida State because they were playing in the ACC, but that doesn't translate to SEC. I mean, a lot of people point to Spurrier's fun and gun and say, well, they always won with finesse. But, I mean, it was finesse backed up by, you know, a cast iron hammer coming in at you. I mean, Florida always had a monstrous defensive line and a really good offensive line, as well as some of the best linebackers in the country. And so, yeah, you see the finesse scoring all those touchdowns. What you don't see are the, you know, six or seven guys that are knocking people flat on their back during that play. And so
exactly.
All finesse will not win it in the SEC.
You're exactly right, Corey, and that was the point I was just about to make. The difference between the SEC and any other major conference out there is the talent that lines up each and every Saturday on the defensive line and the offensive line. If you look at the NBA or the NFL draft over the past 6 to 7 years, look how many offensive linemen and defensive linemen were drafted in the first couple of rounds from the SEC. I mean, it's just staggering. And that's where championships are won. It's in the trenches. I mean, if you can protect the quarterback and if you can get to the quarterback, you're going to be successful. I mean, football is a real easy game. I mean, it's the the devil is in the detail and in the execution of that. So, like Corey said, you know, what people tend to overlook is that, yeah, maybe back in the late 90s when Spurrier was doing the fun and gun, you know, they had the guys on the offensive and the defensive side of the ball at the lineman position that was making the holes for the running back and getting to the quarterback. And to me, that's the difference between the SEC and any other major conference today.
Well, I'll tell you the difference is on the defensive line. These champions that come out of the SEC usually are three deep. They rotate these 300-pound beasts that can outrun anybody on your offense. They rotate these guys in, and they put pressure on the quarterback, and you can't go anywhere. Look at Oregon when they played us. Oregon, a very good team, and they couldn't do anything with their front. Their defense was probably ranked 97th in the country that year, it seemed like. We were terrible against the pass. And you know, we just outmanned them and out-physical. But you put a quarterback like Matt Barkley, and he's a good quarterback, don't get me wrong. You put him in the SEC, every week I watch him play, his jersey's clean. You know, you put him in the SEC, he'll get up looking out of his ear hole a lot, and we'll see how many times those hits add up and see
exactly
how many times he plays. Because right now, I watch Big 12 football, or say, and I watch Pac-12, I watch it all, but the Big 10, they'll put pressure on you and hit you. The Pac-12, they don't play defense. Like, corners don't lock down on receivers, and they don't play aggressive. And the Big 12 is almost like that now. They don't play defense. If you notice, they just go out there in a track meet, and whoever scores the most wins. And it was funny when I heard Oklahoma State would put up, you want to see a 50-47 game or a 9-6? That's what Ben Gundy says, or Gundy says, coach for Oklahoma State. I got news for you guys. Look at that Alabama team this year. Or LSU's defense. Oklahoma State might have been lucky to score 10, but I guarantee you that it got 50 put on them. Either Alabama or LSU would have put 50 on Oklahoma State, Keith. What do you think?
I tell you, well, I mean, if you want to just draw a quick comparison, after the 09 season when Alabama was so dominant, they lost three games the next year. They're 10-3. if they played in another conference, they wouldn't have lost a game. You look at Auburn last year. They went 7-5 regular season. They lost 5 regular season games. 4 teams from the SEC that had double-digit wins beat them, and a Clemson team that finished with double-digit wins beat them. You know, and that was an inexperienced team. You know, but you just look at that. There's just no way that these other conferences stack up top to bottom. I mean, even Vanderbilt, I think, could beat half the Big Ten now. And you know, and I know it sounds like we're just talking smack to anybody that's not an SEC fan. And believe me, when I brag on Alabama, it's not easy because I'm a lifelong Auburn fan. So, you know, for me to say that, it takes a lot. But,
hey, guys,
I mean, the one thing
I
do
gotta
have
to say something, Keith. Keith, I got to interrupt you just a second. If Alabama would have went to Oklahoma, to Iowa State last year, Nick Saban's wife and kids murdered, they would have beaten Iowa State by 40 points. And I'm tired of hearing that excuse that Oklahoma State lost because the women's basketball assistant coaches died in a plane crash. And I hate that happened, don't get me wrong, but that had nothing to do with that game that night.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, no disrespect intended at all. My thing about that is they had a 24-7 lead in the first half on the road. I mean, how do you lose a game when you're up 24-7, even on the road? I mean, a team that won 6 or 7 games, you know, by the season's end, how do you lose a game like that if you're an elite program? I know everybody has bad games, but, you know, when you're if you had a bad first half and lost that game, I could understand it. But you have a bad second half and lose when you had a big lead, that I don't understand. And that's the difference between an elite SEC program and an elite team from another conference. I mean, Oklahoma, I think, is a whole different level. I mean, they have a bad season and lose 3 games, so I think that Oklahoma State is still, you know, trying to get that level. Like I say, no disrespect intended, but I agree with you there. I don't believe anybody else would have beaten Alabama or LSU in the national championship game this past season.
Chris, what do you think, man? Any other thoughts on this subject?
No, I mean, I think we've pretty much hammered home all of our points here. I mean, you know, say what you want about the matchup last year, but in the end, the BCS got it right. I mean, if you were to just look at the resumes of each of the teams and you actually give them the eye test, you know, LSU and Alabama were clearly the two best teams in the country. They played it out for the national title. Alabama won. You know, case over for me. You know, all the whining from the other leagues, I mean, it's going to go on and it's going to keep going on until, you know, somebody other than an SEC team wins the national title. So, you know, my biggest thing is don't talk about it in the message. Well, I mean, I guess that gives you something to talk about in the message boards, but stop using the same old excuse, you know. I mean, eventually, you know, the run's going to end and another team from another conference will win the national title, but right now, the SEC is pretty much they're in the reloading mode. I mean, it just seems like all the top teams, they're getting all the top recruits. So, I mean, I just expect more of the same, you know, going forward.
Hey, Corey, I want to stay in the SEC and Vanderbilt's coach Franklin. Did you get to see hear his comments?
No, not his latest comments, but I'm excited to hear them. They're always pretty amusing.
His comments. Was this year, he was with the media. He said, I think it was just a couple of days ago, he said, in order, you know, his assistant coaches that he hires, one of the qualifications, they have to have a hot wife in order to recruit. So I guess I'm asking the fans out there and you guys, Corey, I'm going to ask you, do you think this guy, I mean, Vanderbilt's a prestigious program, academic school. They're not used to having a hot head coach come in running his mouth to people. How long do you think he's going to last at Vanderbilt?
Well, that all depends on how much he wins, because we've seen guys like Mike Gundy, and until his unfortunate little motorcycle trip, Bobby Petrino last pretty well. Gundy loves to shoot his mouth off, and Petrino, I mean, just I don't know what you can say about him, just you can't believe anything he says. I think if Franklin wins more than the average at Vanderbilt, he's probably going to last as long as he wants to till some other school hires him away. But if he continues their tradition of looking promising one year, like they're one step away from it, and then regressing a couple of steps the next year, yeah, he'll be out pretty quick.
Or Keith, what do you think?
Well, I think the benchmark at Vanderbilt, if you get anywhere near an even record, most cases you're going to be safe for a while. But now I'm not sure the bar hadn't been raised just a little bit because, I mean, they hammered Wake Forest, who was, you know, a mid-level program in the ACC, which there again, I know it's still not SEC competition, but I think it was on the road, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know. I think we're used to at Vanderbilt, 3-9 or 4-8 would keep you in good standing. You're right. Now maybe it's different. Maybe you have to win 6 or 7 games to stay in good graces. I think Frank has done a good job so far, though, but it's one of those things. We've also seen other coaches do well there. Jerry DiNardo back in the early 90s. And, you know, we've seen a couple guys do decent there, and just when you think they're going to turn the corner, they're back to 2-10, or, well, in those days, 2-9. So I guess the next year or two will tell.
Yeah, I think it is. The bar is a little higher for Franklin because, I mean, yeah, they're not that demanding, I don't think, at Vanderbilt. But, I mean, we didn't see Bobby Johnson or Woody Woodenhofer or Jerry DiNardo going out and creating a media disaster every other week.
This guy seems like every time he loses, though, he's trying to start a fight with someone, getting the media and pop off. And I don't think Vanderbilt is so key on winning the SEC East or winning the SEC. I think they understand, as long as their academics are as high as they are, that they're not going to win probably or compete for the national title. But I think they'll give up a game or two just to get somebody out of the – I mean, I don't think Vanderbilt wants to be in the media with getting this attention, especially negative from this guy, Chris. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm kind of agreeing with you, Tarvin. I think, you know, the expectations at Vanderbilt are, hey, if you can get us to a bowl game, we're extremely pleased. Vanderbilt, let's face it, they're there to collect that check at the end of the year, you know, after all this money's divvied up from all the BCS, you know, championship games and New Year's Day bowl games. I'm kind of with you, Tarvin. You know, this was a lot of negative publicity for the university. I mean, I don't think that's really where they want to go. So he's actually put a lot of probably undue pressure on himself now to actually produce results this year as a result of that. Because, you know, if he goes out and he takes them to a bowl game, of course, you know, the fan base, they want to keep him because, I mean, let's face it, he's come into Vanderbilt and actually done a really good job at recruiting, I mean, considering that he is at Vanderbilt. So he's kind of raised the bar, and then I think he's also kind of put some more pressure on himself to perform. So, you know, just bad comment, you know. Definitely not the right thing to say, but, I guess we'll see going forward, you know, how much the administration there at Vanderbilt is unhappy with this situation.
The thing that stands out to me with this kid is, you know, after, you know, he's mad at Dooley in Tennessee, he's got somebody in the locker room telling him that Dooley says that, you know, we always kick the you-know-what out of Vanderbilt. Well, instead of getting mad about it, do something about it and beat Tennessee one time, and Tennessee won't be saying that about you. And after the Georgia game, he's running around trying to look somebody to fight. And, you know, Mark Rick's not going to give this guy the time of day. He's like, who are you? I mean, you know, you're a limo driver to me. Get out of my face. And, you know, I can't wait till we go there this year. And just, you know, I saw the rankings where they had him ahead of Chizik in the coaching rankings. I'm like, are you serious? I mean, this guy is nothing but a loose cannon. I mean, sure, he can motivate a player, but pretty soon this is going to die out. These players are going to start looking at him like a joke, like he is, and they're going to go back to their old ways of not trying in practice and getting stomped by everybody in the SEC.
Yeah.
First off, I just want to throw in, instead of getting mad at Derek Dooley, you should probably just laugh at him. That's a bragging point for him, that Tennessee beats Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Welcome to the club. Who doesn't? But, yeah, another thing, many points I'll fault him after that Georgia game is not hitting Todd Grantham, because I'd like to see somebody knock his head off. But a little bit off topic, but it's still talking about that. How many confused spectators do you think there will be when Vanderbilt plays Missouri this year? With James Franklin coaching for one team and playing quarterback for the other.
Just Franklin such is all they got to yell. The whole crowd, the whole game, and everybody will be in perfect harmony.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got another spin on the recruiting thing. You're talking about Franklin saying that about hot wives. He may be trying to get in the head of these 18-year-old boys that, hey, if you come here, you can look at these coaches' wives.
That might be
what he's thinking.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay, Keith, I'm a coach right now that interviewed at Vanderbilt. Just to pretend that my wife weighs, say, 300 pounds. I didn't get the job. So now I'm sitting here thinking to myself, maybe I didn't get hired by this guy because my wife's not attractive. Just think, that could be a lawsuit coming up.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, seriously, he just opens Pandora's box to where, I mean, I wouldn't want to coach with the guy, would you? If you're an up-and-coming coach trying to get in, you know, to be a head coach, would you want to coach under this guy? Sounds like to me
no,
he just has his priorities out of line.
His whole premise for the thing, and it was supposed to be a joke, but I understand what he's saying. If they're a good enough salesman that, you know, they look like some of these coaches do, and then they have a good-looking wife, then, hey, maybe they can talk to these 18-year-old kids and get them to come play here. So I understand. I guess what he's saying, he needs a better salesman than, say, an Alabama or an LSU or Auburn or Georgia or somebody does, because he's got an uphill battle already. Not taking up the guy, I think that it was taken a little far out of context. Maybe he's trying to put another spin on it. I don't know.
Well, maybe he should start to get him a hot wife, you know, instead of critiquing everybody else's wife. That's maybe what he needs to do.
I've never seen his wife. What does she look like?
I haven't either, but by looking at him, I can just imagine. She's probably 300 pounds sitting at home hitting him with a belt right now as we speak. So,
I think she called in earlier, did she not?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that was her. Black man.
that was her. Keith and Corey, do you think Justin Blackman's going to get the death penalty for the DUI? We had several calls about that tonight.
I was not even aware of him getting the DUI, to be honest with you.
I'm going to change subject and go to the NFL a little bit. You know, this Detroit Lions fan got arrested. You remember this year they played the Saints in the playoffs in New Orleans. Well, he calls the first time and says he's wanting to stop the game to kill the momentum because the Saints are, you know, on a run, beating them good. And he called in a bomb threat, said he's going to blow the place up. Well, the second time his words were, if you Southerners don't quit playing football like this, I'm going to blow the place up again. This guy gets caught and arrested, and he said he just exaggerated it. You know, he shouldn't have done that. But what kind of fan do you have to be to call a bomb threat into a place that just got hit by a hurricane and destroyed a few years ago? I mean, what kind of fan? I think that's the kind that called earlier on our show, Chris. What do you think?
I think we heard from that caller earlier about Justin Blackman. But anyway, you know, there are definitely a lot of crazy people out in the world, and apparently this guy is one of them. I mean, okay, my whole thing with sports is supposed to be a form of entertainment. It's something that, you know, lets us get away from the daily stresses in our lives. And when you allow sports to consume you fully, you know, then you've got a problem, and obviously this guy has a mental problem, and he needs a lot of help. So that's about all I'm going to say there.
Corey?
I just got one word for you, man. Updike.
Yeah, exactly.
He was just upset because he spent so much money traveling to New Orleans, and then he was seeing him get beat like that. I guess if you looked in the dictionary for a poor sport, it would have his picture there.
Yeah, and I'm sure he's seen all that good stuff about New Orleans on TV down there, and he got down there and started breathing and realized what it smelled like. He was probably mad about that to begin with.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a fan that's going to start his own bounty gate up now. He's going to start dialing in all these different stadiums that's beating the crap out of the Lions and And especially now with Fairley probably going to be in prison and yeah. Dominican Sue, I'm sure he's going to have a lot of calls on his hands. But, you know, I mean, I love sports, and I'm serious about college football and everything, but I don't think it's ever crossed my mind one time to blow a stadium up because my team was losing. Corey, is it you?
No, I can't say that it has. I mean, I wanted to hit some people, but I didn't even do that.
But it's just, I mean, this day and age, I mean, there's crazy people out there. And you know, listen to this show. If you listen to the first part of it, a couple of those callers, you'll see this country's in trouble, guys. I mean, you have people at home and still living with mama, and they just don't know how to live life. They want to call in the radio talk shows and stir stuff up, or they want to get on message boards and stir it up. But, man, this country is in trouble when it comes to people. I think the guy, honestly, should go to prison for the rest of his life. Do you think that's a fair punishment, or do you think that's a little harsh?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good start. You're always going to get less than what you're asking for, so he needs more than a slap on the wrist. I mean, we shouldn't be getting terrorist threats from people in this country. We face enough terrorist threats from outside the country and somebody just being an
exactly.
idiot like that.
Exactly.
The only way you can describe it is just an idiot.
Yeah, I know this guy's probably, you know, tired of getting beat on Thanksgiving Day every year, you know, get beat by 40 points, but it's okay, guy. You made the playoffs one time, and it's probably the last time, but I understand.
He was probably a Canadian. He probably migrated from Canada down to Detroit. You know, it's just across the river
exactly.
there.
I got a
that's
question.
Probably what his problem is.
Is he being charged in New Orleans? Is he being extradited back to New Orleans for trial?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I don't know. Probably not since it didn't happen there, and it happened in Detroit. But either way, I mean, you know, I'd say put him in Texas. What do you think?
Yeah, exactly.
Why don't they let him share a jail cell?
Years.
Yeah, exactly.
They let him share a jail cell with the guy that the Bama fan that sexually assaulted the LSU fan that was passed out at the Taco Bell.
Yeah, I mean, that's
let
what
him
I thought.
Jail
if he was being tried in New Orleans, I'd say that'd be the perfect punishment. Let them spend
exactly.
2 years together.
Yeah.
Well, Corey and Keith, man, I thank you for the calls and call back next
no
show.
Problem.
We're doing Wednesday at 9.
All right, enjoy it.
Appreciate it, man.
All right, take it easy.
All right, we're going to the lines. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this?
Hello.
Hey, how's it going, Sonia?
How are you?
Hey, how's it going, Sonia?
Hi.
Yeah, I can hear you now. I can hear you.
I know it.
We called from a landline this time.
All right.
Yeah, how's everything going?
Everything's going great. We were trying to get into the chat room, and we had a bunch of people on the boards or on the group that were trying to get in, and we can't get in for some reason. And so I think your site's having a little difficulty.
Yeah, I announced it earlier in the show. I'm having difficulty, and I announced it at the start of the show that the chat room would be down for this show only.
Okay.
We apologize.
Oh, no problem.
You got to tune in early, Sonia. You got to tune in early to get the food.
Well, guess what I was doing? I was actually posting the link to the show in some of the other groups that we were in.
All right.
So
yeah.
I was working.
Sonia, let me tell you what
marketing.
Happened tonight. Sonia, we had some crazy callers tonight, and I think it's all due to the SEC bashing, you know, we see on the message boards every day.
Oh,
I think
God.
A few of these people want to call in and harass a little bit, but it was funny. But you missed that, I think.
So one of our few troll friends decided to call in and give you guys a hard time.
Yeah, well, it wasn't bad. They wanted to know about Toronto Raptors, and then that same guy would call back and want to know about Golden State, and then he would call back. It was the same person calling in over and over again.
So some guy that's living in his mom's basement with nothing else to do, right?
Exactly.
That's exactly what I said. Living with his mom right now. I told him I'm going to have to call your mom and get her to ground you or take the phone away from you.
That's right. He'll be on punishment. He's in timeout.
Exactly. Go stand in the corner, young man.
Well, I wanted to answer one of your questions I heard. As far as James Franklin's wife, the woman is gorgeous.
Okay. I didn't know. I was just...
Oh, okay, yes. He's married to a sister.
Okay. Well, I didn't know. I never saw his wife. I just looked at him, and I thought, well, you know, maybe he said that because he don't have an attractive wife. I don't know. I've never seen his wife.
Well, hey, Sonia, I got a question for you.
Uh-huh.
From a woman's perspective, were you outraged at his comments, or did you feel that they were, you know, distasteful? Or I just wanted to get your take on his comments.
Not at all. I knew he was joking, and I think what people do is some people are so oversensitive that they actually just look for things to criticize, and it's just like, come on. Now, you know the man's got to be joking. It's just a joke. It didn't bother me in the least. I didn't have any problems with it. Now, if he was really serious, I'd be like, okay, dude, you're focusing on the wrong thing, Shawty. You need to be worried about getting the points.
if he was serious, he wouldn't have a job right now. So.
Thank you. No, I took it exactly what you know the way it was meant to be. It was a joke, and it was no big deal. But I do think that some people, and it's a little bit twofold. I think that some people take things and just run with it. And then to go back to one of your other points, it just seems that if you are an SEC team coach, you're just over-scrutinized. It just gets to the point where it's like, okay, guys, come on. Seriously? I mean, you guys were talking about it earlier, and I, for one, totally agree. I get tired of the SEC bashing. We're not oversensitive either. But it just gets to the point, if you're looking, and all of us are in the same group, so we know what the deal is. But when you're going from group to group and just say out of 12 posts, 8 of them are something anti-SEC, anti-Bama, anti-Auburn, anti-whoever, but it's always anti-SEC. And you just go, really? Come on. And just
You know what it is. It's straight up jealousy.
It is. And when you point that out to them, they just go, you know, they get really defensive and say, oh, no,
yep.
You know. It's like, no, you're jealous. Because think about it. If there was a Big 12 school that had won 6 back-to-back national championships, they would be boasting, they would be bragging, they would be doing the exact same thing, they would be celebrating it. But because it's an SEC team that has won, then all of a sudden, okay, you guys are just SEC homers and SEC this. And it's like,
yeah.
Well, wait a minute, hold on. Let's do a comparison.
I don't care what it is.
Huh?
And it's so bad that people are using personal attacks on people. It's just
yes.
so bad that it almost beats me into doing saying that. But I have to back up and realize who it's coming from. But some of these people are just crazy.
It's ridiculous, and what it is, it's also hypocritical because if you look at both of us. Okay, you're an Auburn fan. I'm a Bama fan. Just say, you know, Jason's a Gopher fan. So if we're just sitting there and we're doing the exact same thing, we're supporting our teams, we're rooting for our teams, we're posting positive posts about our teams, but somebody else comes on and it's like, oh, well, you're an SEC homer.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait a minute, no, I'm doing the exact same thing you're doing. I'm supporting my team.
Yeah,
but because I do it, because my team's in the SEC, then I'm all of a sudden a homer, which to me is just the most moronic insult.
Yeah.
How's that?
Hey, Sonia and Chris, you know, I look on the message boards too and stuff. I never see SEC people posting anything really negative about other schools.
Nope.
It's always vice versa. So
exactly.
You are so right. Exactly.
Pure jealousy. That's all it is, like Chris said. It's hatred and jealousy. And their famous words are, you know, you're out of conference schedules, weak. I mean, is that all you can come up with, really?
Blank out of here with that BS. That's what really gets me, because they want to say, oh, you know, they want to sit there and talk about our schedules, but okay, now, last time I checked, it's okay for you to play Johnson Community College every year, you know, but if Alabama plays Kent State or, you know, Louisiana Tech, then there's an issue. No, what show me one team, and I even put this on one of my messages, and I dared somebody to do it, it's like, okay, you post me one team in any conference that has a full schedule where they're just playing elite teams, top 10 teams. It's not going to happen.
Nope.
Don't happen.
It's not going to happen.
And Sonia, there's no difference between playing, say, you know, just like a, let me think of a team here, Kansas. There's no difference between playing Kansas and Stanford, really. I mean, you're going to beat them, and you're going to name your score. So it really doesn't matter. And people like give people credit because they played Kansas in a Big 12 conference when Kansas is not that good anyway, and they would get beat by 50 by anybody they played. But
that's
now you're
going
to bash Auburn or Alabama for playing Stanford or somebody at school in their state, helping them with the money, helping them fund their school and helping them grow their college, but you want to bash us because we're just winning national championships and recruiting battles. That's all we do.
That's right.
Yep.
It's hypocrisy. It's straight up hypocrisy. It's straight up jealousy. And whoever's listening, who's sitting there shaking their head saying no, no, you can sit there and deny it all you want to. Yes, it is, sweetie.
Well, and you know, Sonia, we've extended the olive branch, so to speak, to anybody that's a Pac-12, you know, enthusiast or Big 12, and to come on and let's talk about it and let's debate it. But you know, we never get any calls, you know, because they're afraid we're going to bash them or whatever. But
we're open
for debate here. You know, I mean, not to say that we're always right, but I mean, let's face it. We have the proof is in the pudding with the SEC. I mean,
that's right.
Six straight national titles. You know, numerous. You know, people drafted in the first round of the NFL draft. I mean, all the
number one recruiting classes.
Exactly. All the Heisman Trophy winners. I mean, so we can give you the facts, but you know, it just seems like the people, you know, especially in the Pac-12, they resort to, you know, hey, it's just a week out of the conference schedule because that's the only thing they can really hang their hat on, you know.
Well,
so it's just so tiring hearing the same song over and over and over.
It is, and I'm going to tell you the reason that you're not going to get those people calling in to even debate, even the ones with sense that are going to call in. They're not going to call in because there is no argument.
Exactly.
There is none. It's like, okay, if you, and even on the boards, and you guys see it, if we ever issue a challenge and say, okay, you know what, since you want to do this, like our Mythbusters section that we have in our group, okay, post it. Give me some facts. Give me something. And it's always crickets, 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 because there's no debate. There's no argument. All it is pure jealousy. Now, if you admit it and just say, hey, I'm jealous. Okay, cool, we can work with that. You know?
Exactly.
But don't sit here and try to make up things. And, you know, one thing I definitely love to see is when people post, oh, the SEC's been on probation and they've got more NCAA violations and this and that. And then when you really go, because, you know me, I'm one of those straight, just stick to the facts. You know what I mean? So I will go and research, and it's like, wait a minute. Okay, now we might have more violations as a conference compared to some of those, but they're minor. When you look at major violations, the SEC doesn't have the most.
Yeah, you're right. Sonia, I think we have a Pac-12 caller in. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this? 906? Hello?
Hello?
Okay, crickets. Okay, sorry about that, Sonia. I just thought somebody might have been calling us out on their challenge there, you know.
Oh, man.
That would be nice.
We're looking forward to it.
You know, I had an Oregon fan call in last week, and he was real good, and he was respectful. And, you know, a lot of fans are like that, but there's a lot that spoil it for everybody. And, you know, if you have 12 Pac-12 people you know and 10 of them are just total obnoxious jerks, well, your opinion really is going to be that. But
I respect
Oregon. I respect their program, you know, and I don't bash them. And I like what they're doing in Oregon. And if you're good, I'm going to give you props. You know, I'm not going to talk bad about you. Like Alabama,
right.
I'm an Auburn fan, and trust me, Sonia, I'm not a Bama. I mean, I don't hate anybody, but I don't support Alabama, but I'm not going to sit over here and tell you they're not any good.
Right.
You know, they cheat and stuff, because I know. I watch them play. They're the best team in the country last year, and people are just going to have to deal with it.
Well, you have to respect any team. And one thing about Jason and I, we just love college football, and there are many teams that we respect. But there are fans, for example, you're aware of a certain incident. We're not going to bring it up, but you know what I mean. And I respect that team, but there are people who are the most obnoxious and nasty fans that can make you just dislike that team just based on their, you know, your interaction with them. And one thing about this particular person, they're so passionate about their teams or about their team. And when you come back and you say, okay, I totally understand that I have the same passion for Alabama as you do for Oregon, but the bottom line is let's look at what has been accomplished by both teams. And when you line them up side by side, sorry, Alabama has more national championships. You have zero. And the one thing they always tout, oh, we've been the conference champ for the past 3 years and we've done this. Okay, that's fine and good. I have no problem with that. Glad. You know, if you like it, I love it. You know, great. But the bottom line is you still haven't won that national championship. But you want to sit here and act like you can – it's almost like a and I hate to disrespect any Florida fans, but you remember back in the 90s when Florida was going, you know, when they were on their high? And
yeah.
Florida fans were the most obnoxious, the most arrogant fans there were in the SEC. I think every SEC team fan can agree on that. Back in the 90s, Florida was just obnoxious. And my rebuttal every time I met an obnoxious Florida fan was, wait a minute, you guys just got good, okay? It's
uh-huh.
not like you've been good from, you know, day one. You know, it's not like you've had this legacy. You just got to the point where you're winning. Well, guess what? Now you're down in the trenches again. It happens with every team. Alabama had their dark periods. Auburn, all of Tennessee's going through it right now. But the one thing that we can look back on is, okay, let's look at Tennessee. What people don't understand is when you look at the top 10 winningest teams in college football history, Tennessee's number 10. All right, so they have a history, and that's one thing that some of these fans, like Oregon, for example, they don't understand is we have a legacy, we have a tradition, we have something to look back on. You guys just started, and you're acting like you've always been there, and that's what gets me. So it's a combination of that, it's a combination of jealousy, but bottom line is when they start talking that smack, I just roll my eyes, point to the scoreboard, and say, yeah, let's let our boys play it out. Because the bottom line is, no matter what you do, you're never going to touch the tradition of a lot of schools in the SEC.
Hey, Sonia, I think I have an Oregon fan on the line. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this?
This is Colin.
Hey, Colin.
Is this Colin?
Hey, how
you
doing?
It's Colin. Colin.
Oh my God. How are you, Colin?
Not bad. I've been listening to you guys for about 20 minutes now. I've got a couple things to say here.
Uh-oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Let me get my splatter. Let me get my splatter screen.
First off, I'll go back to what the first thing I heard about the SEC's championships and tradition and that stuff. You're right. I mean, you guys got us there for now, I think. I think the Pac-12 still has the most overall NCAA titles, but not in football, probably. But, yeah, I mean, there's no argument that the SEC has a recruiting edge, which gives them those championships. I mean, those boys come from the South. And it's a lot harder for us to take those players out of there. But, yeah, you guys are absolutely right. The SEC got us right now.
But the thing is, too, Colin, is you're one of those Oregon fans that we actually like talking to. And actually,
yeah.
Jason and I were talking about you personally earlier today.
Yeah.
And it wasn't bad, but we were just talking about the difference in between you and a certain other person that shall remain nameless. And
yeah,
how
that certain other person's got kind of a big mouth.
Yeah. You know exactly what I'm talking about. But the
yeah.
thing is, it's like I can sit here and I can say, you know what? Colin, I admire your passion for your team, and I respect what Oregon does, and we can have a civil conversation. But with other people, their hatred of the SEC is so intense that they don't even hear when you're trying to give them props. The only thing they want to do is just bash.
Yeah, I don't think it's so much hatred of the SEC. I think it's a big hatred of some of the SEC fan base.
Uh-huh.
Nobody can deny that most SEC games are fun to watch. Withholding LSU and Alabama last year.
you mean the field goal championship?
The first one, yeah. yeah, I think it's more the fan base than that. But to touch on what you were saying about Oregon is the problem with Oregon is they don't have the history to live in, so what we have is what they're doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all we have to talk about. I mean,
right.
They don't have 90 years of winning. They got 12, 15.
Mm-hmm.
And being an Oregon fan growing up, even for the past 25 years, it was hard to watch until 10 years ago. So
oh,
it's still a big
like,
deal for us to win.
You're just like my husband sitting here, and I think he wants to take the phone now because he wants to talk to you. And if anybody can talk about being a team being hard to watch, it's my Minnesota Gopher husband. So, Colin, it was nice to finally hear your voice, and hopefully I'll get back on. But Jason wants to talk to you guys now, so hold on.
All right. This is Jason. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, good, Jason. How's everything going?
We're doing good.
I'm named Chris, Colin, Chris, and Brian. So.
Hey, Colin. Good to hear you.
You too.
I you know, my Gophers, man, I tell you, we're on the receiving end. And, you know, and I'll touch a little bit on the subject you talked about earlier about cupcake schedules. We're one of those teams that actually benefit from those cupcake games. You know, we get the chance, like last year, to go out and play USC. Gave them a scare, you know, to boot. But those games are important for teams like mine. You know, that revenue helps pay for some of those programs. You know, we don't have, you know, a stellar program, and it's very difficult to develop. And, you know, a person said to me the other day, you know, we always have that unfortunate thing of we have a good coach but a bad recruiter, or we have a bad recruiter and we don't have a good coach. And I think finally, you know, as far as where we stand right now, we actually have a coach that can actually coach and recruit. And, you know, and I'm excited about it. But, you know, since we've lost, you know, all these years, you know, does it make me any less of a fan? No, because I continue to watch every game on Saturday, you know. And I'll be the first to admit, you know, Sonia and I, when we sit down on Saturday, we watch all the games. And we pinpoint probably five or six games every Saturday that we want to watch other than Alabama and the Gophers. And ironically, one of those teams is Oregon. I mean, we enjoy watching Oregon play. They're a fun team to watch. So, you know, as far as respect, you know, we have the utmost respect for Oregon. We both love Chip Kelly. Great coach. And, you know, bright future for him. And I wish him well. You know, I just wish my Gophers were on that same stage.
Yeah, Chip Kelly's definitely done some – he's done some good things since he's been here.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Also, too, Brian, I saw, you know, on you had one of your topics that you were going to discuss, and that was, is the SEC lenient on marijuana use? And I actually wanted to chip in just a small comment on that topic just because I think it's important to address. I think rather than looking at football in general as is marijuana use, you know, overlooked, I think more of the focus should be on painkillers and cortisone shots because that's to me, that's more damaging than anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, addiction to pain pills. I mean, you look at some of these athletes that, you know, they're taking Lortabs and, you know, tons of prescription pain pills. I mean, that's a problem.
Yeah, and I think it was just Sammy Watkins just a couple weeks ago that he got busted with Adderall and something else.
Yeah.
Without a prescription. I mean, it's not a good thing to be doing with a prescription or not. It's not good for you.
No, and look at Leach.
Yeah.
Breaking into people's houses to steal their pain pills. I mean, wow. I mean, that's sad. To me, that's really sad.
Yeah, but addiction will take you places like that. You know, you see people, and it's not who they really are. It's what they're doing now to just survive the day. And I agree with you. There's a lot more things damaging they could be doing. Like cortisone shots will just destroy your body, painkillers, marijuana, and things like that. I think marijuana is, you know, there's no difference between probably smoking a joint and then people that drink a case of beer a day. I think the beer will do more damage to you.
Well, look at Alcoholic Favre. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
My God. So I mean, there's, you know, it's a here and there. You know, I don't. You know, judge people on that. I mean, I can think of a lot of things far worse. So,
yeah, you know, it's just that, you know, the SEC, you know, they are lenient in ways, and I'm not very familiar with, and you tell me if I'm wrong. I mean, the Big Ten, what is their policy about, like, marijuana for the first couple of times?
That's what I was wondering, too.
You know, you don't really hear about it that much. I mean, usually what you hear about up in the Big Ten is, you know, unfortunately, especially with Minnesota, you hear about players getting accused of rape and, you know, burglary. Those are the things that come up in the Big Ten that they frown on. As far as marijuana use, you know, I couldn't really tell you because it doesn't really come up, and that probably says it right there. They probably overlook it too.
Well, even in Oregon, they weren't a big fan of marijuana use with Cliff Harris.
Yeah, I mean, come on, guys. I mean, just look at sports in general. I mean, you got to admit, the entire NBA, they're all a bunch of potheads.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on. That's just laughable.
Exactly.
You know, and even the NFL. I mean, it's become nowadays a recreational drug. It's just like alcohol. You know, so
yeah.
I just, you know, it's like, you know, move on. New subject.
In college, you know, they're experiencing being away from home for the first time, and they're
live
in college, and they're at parties, and everybody's doing it, and so
they
get caught up in the moment, and I think there are far worse things they could do, like drinking and driving. You know, that's one thing that, you know, you'd think people would get a cab if they could, but
exactly.
You know, I think that's worse than somebody smoking a joint, you know.
The big rage, you know, when I was in school was ecstasy. You know, did I ever try it? No, because I was a chemist. I knew how damaging it was.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it just depends on the period and whatnot. I mean, it's just everyone goes through those phases.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good discussion, you know. That's a good topic. Like, you know, what damage can it do? And I think a lot of people that do it, they really don't understand the damage it can do, you know.
They live for the now.
That's exactly right. They're not thinking about, I can get hooked on this drug and be dependent on it and need help to get off of it. They just use it because, A, they might be hurt. They might actually be hurt and need it, and then they abuse it. Or you just never know what goes on in those locker rooms. And,
yeah, no, I totally agree. I totally agree.
All right, guys, you want to add anything else?
Hey,
One more question for you.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So it's the West Coast thing, but what's your opinion on Justin Combs' scholarship offer to UCLA? P. Diddy's son.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's a big rage over here about whether or not he actually needs a scholarship, and people are upset that he was offered and accepted, saying that his dad could pay for it. And what do you guys think about that?
I'm not familiar with it at all. What about you guys?
If you earn it, you deserve it. If you don't
earn
it, then your father should pay for it. End of story.
Yeah, that was my stance on it. Yeah, I've seen some people that are pretty upset, and I just thought I didn't really understand it, so I wanted to see somebody else's opinion.
Yeah, that sounds to me like it's more kind of a publicity stunt than anything, you know. Hello?
Hey. Yeah, we're here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought they were. Yeah, it sounds to me like it's kind of just more of a publicity stunt than anything, you know. Kind of, you know, maybe by getting him there at UCLA, that'll maybe attract some other top recruits, you know, I guess since it's Diddy's son or whatever. But I'm kind of agreeing with Jason over there. You know, if you earn it, then, yeah, you deserve it. But if not, then, you know, I mean, come on. I mean, P. Diddy's got plenty of change he can drop on a college education. So.
Yeah, I mean, from what I've seen, he's pretty good. I think he was a 4-star out of high school and the number 11 running back in the class.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it looks like he's got the talent.
Yeah, exactly. Well, based on that, then, yeah, he's definitely deserving of a scholarship.
And this is Tanya, guys.
All right.
Thanks, I just wanted to put. Hey, Jason gave me the phone back.
Okay.
But I just wanted to put my two cents on. I heard Colin. I had to step out of the room so I could actually hear you guys or hear your part while Jason was talking. But I totally agree as far as Justin earning the scholarship. Even his teammates have come out and said, look, he was heavily recruited. He earned it. Let it be.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, it's just one of those things. It's like, come on. And again, it goes back to those, really? Is this all?
Yeah.
Like, there's more important stuff to be worried about and to write an article about. You want to write an article about P. Diddy's son getting a scholarship that he earned. That would be different if he was a bench warmer, you know?
mm-hmm.
Or something like that.
It's a money issue, too, and they're thinking, well, we can save a scholarship here with the money and get somebody else because we know his dad can afford it, you know, and pay for it himself. So that's what that boils down to.
Yeah. But before, because I know you guys have got to finish, I just wanted to say something to Colin before we moved on and before you guys moved on to your subject. Colin, you've got to be one of the coolest Oregon fans we've talked to.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to tell you that regardless of anything, and Jason kind of hit on it when he was talking, that we love college football. There are so many teams that we respect. There are so many other coaches that we respect. And the only issue with the whole SEC bashing thing is that I totally understand that there are some fans that give the entire fan base a bad name. I mean, say Bama at the top of the list. We've got T-Bagger and Schmuckdite. Okay,
yeah.
But you know, but not all of us are running around trying to poison trees or to you know mess with a drunken LSU fan that's passed out in crystals. So
yeah.
To me,
I'm your huckleberry.
Yeah, I knew that was coming. But the bottom line with us is, we respect everyone that we deal with on the boards until we get disrespect. And we usually will ignore the obnoxious fans, but it gets to the point where it turns into an obsession, as it has with a few people, the whole, not just Bama, but the whole SEC bashing, the whole just bashing period, you just get to the point where you just want to stop that person and say, dude, seriously? You spend more time bashing our team than you do repping your team. So if anything, show us something else. You know, show us, post how great Oregon is going to be. Show us what they're, you know, what's coming up. Show us what your go-to players are coming up this season instead of posting stuff that's 10 years old about Auburn or Alabama or Tennessee or whoever. You know what I'm saying? So just so you know, with us, it's all about respect. Jason and I have yet to jump on any board and just post anything saying, hey, screw so-and-so or, you know, blank so-and-so, we hate you. We don't do that. It's not up to that, and the majority of fans don't. But there are fans from every single team, every single conference, every single fan base that make it bad for everyone else. And the only thing we ask is don't lump us in. You know, judge us for what we bring to the table. If we're acting obnoxious, then you've got every right. But if we're coming to you saying, hey, dude, you know, yeah, my team might have won the national championship, but I really want to know about your team and I really respect your team, your answer shouldn't be, screw you, you know, blank Bama, Saban's a cheater, this happened, and, you know, you guys are on probation. But nobody wants to hear that. And you just get to the point where you get tired of hearing it. And I think that's what's going on, what Chris and Brian were talking about before, where SEC teams fans are just getting tired of it. It's like, come on, you know?
Yeah,
so
it's the same song.
Yeah, it's the same song, different day. And if you don't, and for even people that are listening, if you don't believe me, go and check whatever group you're in, because it happens in every group. Just step back, and for 2 or 3 days, there's always one or two. Count the number of anti-SEC team posts that you see compared to the post repping their team that particular person posts, and see if we're being, you know, oversensitive. It's not like that at all.
Yeah, and I've told that particular guy he needs to work on his people skills.
Yeah, he needs to hang out with you more.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to tell you guys, great show. We love calling in. We're going to be calling in more and definitely getting on the chat room. And we're going to expect you guys to be on our show, too, once we get it started. You too, Colin, because you're going to have to represent the pack over there.
All right.
Definitely. Sonia, you're starting your show this month, right?
Yep, we're going to be Pigskin Pride is going to start this month. We're going to keep our fingers crossed that we have everything going, and we're going to have you guys on. We're going to have a lot of fun. So we're just basically we're supporting everybody, and everybody loves college football, so we just want to support every other group that's out there. It's nothing about a competition. It's just all about great football and passing along some great information and having some good discussions.
All right. Appreciate the call, Sonia. Thanks.
Yes,
all right, guys.
Thank you.
Jason, are you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay. I had to check with the hubby.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you. Thank you all for the call.
No problem. And one thing before I go. Guys.
I'm ready.
Can you hear me?
Ready.
Are you ready?
Hello?
All right. Roll Tide, roll.
Oh.
I had to get that
you
in.
You told him I'm coming. And hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me.
Okay, Kurt Russell wannabe.
All right.
I'm your Huckleberry.
Well, thanks for the call. We really appreciate
it. Thanks for the call,
support and everything.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you later. And Colin, it was nice to finally hear your voice. We'll see you online in a few.
All right.
Take care.
All right. Take it easy.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, Colin, we're out of time, bud, and we're going to let you go. Thanks for calling in. We really appreciate
it. Yeah, appreciate it, Colin.
Yeah, no problem. Take care, guys.
All right. Have a good one. All right, Chris, we're about out of time, but update in the Celtics game. The Heat have made it a game, 68-73. Boston's up 5 with about 10 minutes left. So I know we're about to get off, but it's a good game. If you're missing it, hit on ESPN and watch it.
Yeah, the Heat are making a huge run here at the end, trying to steal a game in Boston. So this last 10 minutes is definitely going to be exciting. So.
And I want to thank all the listeners tonight that listened online and called in. We had a record night tonight. It shattered our record. So all the support,
wow.
Sonia and all you guys, thanks for calling in and listening online and advertising our show. And we really appreciate it. We have fun on here. We are serious, too. So we like serious calls, but we can be fun. But we just don't like, ridiculous calls, prank calls and stuff. So if you're out there listening, if you want to talk football, I don't care, or any sport, be serious about it. You're welcome on here. But, Chris, any final thoughts before we go?
Oh, well, the only final thought I have is, we definitely learned tonight that Justin Blackmon is not the number one receiver in everybody's heart, so that was pretty comical. But I agree with you. We do this show because we love it. We love talking about sports. We're passionate about sports. There's a time to be serious and there's time to have fun. But, just keep the prank calls to yourself. If that's all you have to weigh in, then, we really don't want to waste valuable airtime, going over, crazy stuff like that. So, but it was a great show tonight. Just want to thank everybody who participated. Like Tarvin said, it was a record-breaking night. So we're just excited. It gives us, excitement and more enthusiasm to do the show. So just looking forward to Wednesday night, man.
And if you're liking the show now, you're going to start loving it more and more, especially if football season gets closer. There's a lot of news going on. We have a lot of good guests come on, and this time of year it's hard, for a lot of radio shows and everything to get the listeners up. But we've grown a lot, and it's all because of these dedicated sportaholics like me, addicted to sports.
Exactly.
I love sports. I love talking sports. I love listening to other people. But I don't like a lot of bashing either, And I like if you're a Big Ten fan and your team's great, well, call in and say it. You don't have to bash other teams. You can just call in and talk about yours I really do appreciate everyone listening tonight and calling in. It's really been a success, and it's all because of you.
Exactly.
Well, Wednesday night, we got a big show, 9 Eastern, same time, everything. We're going to go to about 10 or 10:30, depending on, the volume and all the topics. But we would love for you to come and last Wednesday night, we did Alabama. This week, we're going to be breaking down LSU. So that'll be a good conversation. We'll be talking about the LSU Tigers to see what they're going to bring back, see their predictions, their schedule, go over it. A lot of people say, they've got a clear path to the national championship. But looking at their schedule, I don't really think there's any SEC schedule that's a clear path. So we're going to break down that, that team and their matchups in the West and give you our predictions. So we hope you come back with us Wednesday night at 9 Eastern.
All right.
And, Chris, I hope you have a good week, man.
You too, buddy. And I'll talk to you later on this week. And just like I said, looking forward to Wednesday night. And so we'll see you then, man.
All right. Take care.
All right. Take it easy, buddy.